This is Residents in a Room, an official podcast of the American Society of Anesthesiologists, where we go behind the scenes to explore the world from the point of view of anesthesiology residents.
Just always asking if there's anything else you can do to help.
We're all in this together at the end of the day, and we want everyone to succeed.
You got to stay positive and be that good guiding force.
Hello again. This is Bryce Hostel, one of the chief residents at Rush University Medical Center, and we're back with another episode of Residents in a Room, ASA's podcast for residents by residents. I'm here with some fellow chief residents. We're all chief residents here. Just put that out there so we don't have to keep saying it. But we're talking about expectations, experiences, and takeaways. Let's just go around the room one more time, introduce yourselves, say your name and where you're from.
All right. I'm Louise Hill, and I'm one of the chiefs from Northwestern.
I'm Caitlin Newman. I'm another one of the chiefs at Northwestern University.
And I'm Chris Saul, and I'm also one of the chiefs at Northwestern.
I'm Daryl Kerr. I'm one of the chiefs at Rush University Medical Center.
I'm John Boguski, a chief at Rush.
And I'm Mitch, one of the chiefs at Rush.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about what it means to be chief resident at your program. Roles vary often from program to program, but now that we are chief residents and we've finally gotten to this step, what are your duties? What are your requirements as a chief resident?
Well, one of the big duties is the schedule making and kind of dealing with conflicts that surround that. Everyone gets the pleasure of taking call. So at Rush, we make the call schedule for everyone for every day of the week. So that's one of the big ones, and obviously dealing with the conflicts of people not wanting to take weekend call or when they already have a plan there, that's one of the big duties.
And there's call from all different kinds of rotations. We have general anesthesia call, we have ICU call, we have OB call, we have call at Lurie Children's, we have call at private hospitals in the community. It is multiple moving steps, and so that's a lot to deal with. And I know the schedule does occupy a lot of our time, but there are other requirements and duties that we have. Any others you guys want to mention?
Sure. I think the second biggest role that we have is recruitment. Recruitment for us at Northwestern involves a lot of interview dinners. We have over 20 dinners each season. So the three of us divide those and we each go to some of them, or if you're Chris, you go to all of them because of the free food.
Listen, the free food. Drinks, you can't turn that down.
So
he probably gets leftovers too, I'm sure.
Or he gets leftovers delivered to the hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
That's happened.
Wow. Personally.
Or you wear an ugly Christmas sweater on all the interviews.
Yes, Chris has been known to wear his ugly Christmas sweater to all of the dinners, but that is a huge part of being a chief resident, and it can be fun and rewarding, but it can also be exhausting. Yep. It's, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, sometimes weekend nights that we have to show up for these dinners and talk to 10 plus applicants for each dinner, and then usually involves doing a tour the next day and kind of helping get them acclimated with your program in the short period of time that they have in Chicago. So that was very time consuming and energy consuming, but also very rewarding.
Now, I know our experience at Rush is relatively similar. We, I don't know, have 20 to roughly 20 interview days. But for the first year, we actually got to participate in the interviews for medical students. Did you guys have that similar experience?
We didn't do any actual interviews,
sure.
But I don't know if your program tells you what to tell applicants or not as
sure.
far as your role, but because, you know, the dinners traditionally you go to as an applicant and you think that it's a judge-free zone. You can be yourself.
Yeah. There is some kind of
representation
and motive there.
I think we're not part of the interview process, but I think that we get to know the applicants on a different level and more
right.
like a, you know,
to see
behind
if they
the
fit
scenes.
Into the residency program and, you know, if it's someone you'd want to work with day in and day
exactly.
out.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know, people show up on interviews and sometimes, I don't know, maybe they were a little dry during the interview, but the dinner the night before, we had really liked them and they were really forthcoming. You're like, oh, I would love to be a co-resident with this person. We're there to kind of speak up, be like, oh, I think this person maybe didn't interview as well today, but I think he would be a great addition. Or obviously vice versa, right? Like maybe somebody was rude at dinner, didn't really give you the time of day, and then all of a sudden in 15 minutes, they really turn it on and the attendings love them and so like that. But you can kind of speak up and be like, maybe this person, I mean, sure, they were probably great in the interview, but like last night for a couple hours, they didn't really want to give anyone the time of day or seem really interested.
Yeah, I think where we're getting at it, this is, it's a very stressful time for both applicants and, you know, and the people who are representing their programs, and people are taking time out of their busy day to kind of to get to know each other. And there's so many moving parts and people to get to know. And we're just trying to see who we can work with 60 to 80 hours a week. And, exactly. And we can all be team players together. Is there any other duties that you guys want to add?
Sure. You kind of get to be a creative problem solver. So one of the things that you get to do is you get to hear different problems or concerns that residents bring to you. We've had a couple of instances this year of things that we've been able to discuss with the program director and other people in the administration to make effective changes in our program for the betterment of the education or call schedules or the wellness of residents in general. And I think seeing behind the scenes actions and working towards figuring out all those different changes for your program and really being an advocate is a significant portion of the program.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of a perfect segue into where I wanted to go next. As a chief, you know, what is our relationship with our residents and how does that translate to our relationship with our program director, our assistant program directors, our attendings, our even the chairman of the department? You know, we work with a lot of people and we're sandwiched in between a lot of different motives. How do we navigate that relationship?
I think it's a tough one. And it's almost like a good cop, bad cop kind of idea. Is you want to do what's best for your friends, your co-residents, and get along with them. But you also have to get along with the attendings and see their side of the point as well. So it puts you in a tricky situation right in the middle of, you know, the faculty side of you, the resident side of you, and what you think is best for both parties.
Right. I mean, when it comes down to it, we should be, you know, we all think that we're advocates for residents and, you know, we're just trying to progress our goals and objectives as trainees within the greater scheme of the anesthesia department. Mitch, you kind of alluded already that there are tough situations out there that we deal with. Has there ever been a time, or John or Daryl, I'm sure you can pitch in as well. Has there ever been a time that you've disagreed with the leadership in the department here?
Well, there's no shortage of opinions, and working with a big group of young physicians, you know, they're very, you know, we all come from a pretty solid educational background, and we each have a different way of doing things. So, you know, you just have to kind of weigh everyone's opinion, you know, separately and then see how it would affect the group at large. You know, obviously with any kind of change with your academics or any kind of clinical obligation, there's going to be, you know, ramifications for that change. And there will be, you know, surely people that aren't happy with the change, but you just kind of have to go with the punches and try to please everyone as much as possible.
I think that when dealing with the administrative staff and with residents, you do your best to remain neutral in the situation and neutral, but a bit more on the advocating for the resident side, whether it's advocating for their well-being or just out of straight fairness to that resident. You know, there has been an instance maybe where a resident can't be on call for a particular time because they need to go to a conference.
There can be any number of reasons.
Any number of reasons.
You know, health related or academic related.
Exactly.
There's lots of moving parts. You know, everyone has very complicated lives. So
right. And then I think that as a chief, where the responsibility or the role that kind of is unspoken is that we perhaps step up for that role and insert ourselves to kind of alleviate any of the problems that go along with that, just to kind of make both parties content
right
in that situation.
I think with our job, there's a lot of give and take, and we can see where there's room for flexibility and where there's not room for flexibility, and we kind of jigsaw the solutions into making everything work the best that we can. So here's a good question for you all. Now that we are chief residents and, you know, we're kind of halfway, a little over halfway into our tenure, would you do it all over again?
I think I would. I think definitely the pros outweigh the cons. I mean, there obviously are cons to everything, but I don't know, I think you get a lot of respect from the faculty and your fellow residents. Obviously, it looks good on a resume. So, I mean, and then obviously, like I said, you get to get really close with your other chiefs because, I mean, you're kind of got each other's backs the whole time and kind of solving problems together, which is really fun. So I think I definitely would do it over again.
It definitely is a hard choice. I mean, I had talked to multiple attendings who, you know, had been offered the opportunity to be chief residents at their institutions when they were training. And they said, you know, I would never do it. You know, it's such a nightmare. There's no payoff. You know, yeah, maybe it does go on your resume and that is a good thing, but does it get you anything down the road? I mean, it's hard for us to say, but what are you guys' thoughts on that?
I think it's been great. I think I would easily do it again. Luckily, we've had a great group of chief residents that work really well together. But even at that, like, the headache may be there, but in the end of the day, it's rewarding to solve these problems, help your co-residents, help your co-chiefs, and just kind of overall make everyone's life at work a little bit better.
Yeah. I think it should come naturally. You know, if you're having a really, really hard time deciding, you know, if the opportunity arises and, you know, you're trying to make the decision and you're really on the fence, maybe it isn't for you. You know, maybe you really should be excited about it and want to do it because it's a lot of work and you shouldn't be dreading it every day.
Well, I think most of us would do it again, and I absolutely love it. I mean, we've reached the pinnacle of our education, and at this point, you know, what better chance to really have proof of that by becoming a chief resident and really coming into form and giving you more confidence to progress in your career. So, you know, I think just beyond the resume, it is a confidence builder, and it really, you know, we're stuck in this academic vortex where we have to keep pushing forward, and you know, it's good to get a slap on the back every now and then, and to confirm that what you're doing is right, and you know, so it just helps you get some sleep at night.
This might be a little sappy, but I probably would only be chief again if it was only the four of us again. No, I'm kidding. But I do think it really matters who you work with. I think that the chief year is a very challenging one. And I haven't been dissuaded from possibly doing this again if that was, you know, in hindsight. But I think that, you know, it comes down a lot to the people you work with and who you're working and doing the work for, which is our co-residents and our juniors.
Yeah, we've made such great relationships as chiefs together. You know, I know I'm going to be friends with Mitch and Daryl and Bryce for the rest of my life. Even we might live all the way across the country from each other, but we're definitely going to still stay in touch. I mean, this year has been
the trenches just, of residency we've lived through.
Exactly. we can face it all now.
All right. So moving forward a little bit, as we've already started our chief residency and we've probably come in with specific goals and priorities and hoped to accomplish certain things. Is there anything in specific that you have achieved or are about to achieve? You know, what were your aspirations?
I finally mounted lead hangers on the wall. That was a great one.
Mitch was a diehard lead
enthusiast
for our department. And it is good. So, I mean, we've had radiation badges. We've had radiation hooks put in every OR and new LEDs. And I mean, it's an important thing. But everyone kind of might have their own little project that they're working on. Or for me, I really helped work on the wellness program as a CA1 and CA2 and kind of pass it on to younger people. And that was really important to me. And it was important to our program at the time with lots of things that were going on. And then I know John has really worked on a lot of a global health initiative.
Yeah, I was really proud of pushing forward the global health initiative with our program. You know, Rush has a really strong global health office, and our anesthesia group really has kind of fallen out of it. So, you know, I took it upon myself to kind of get us back involved with the help of some other younger residents. And now this year we've got four senior residents going on two trips to the Dominican Republic. We're extremely excited about that. It also plays a huge role in recruitment, you know, because a lot of medical students are really involved with global health. And, you know, it's really nice to see healthcare in another setting, you know, that you're unfamiliar with.
Yeah, and John will be going on a trip this year, as well as myself. And I think we're super excited about
that. Yeah, a few weeks away. Just counting the days down.
Counting down. Are there any other passions that you guys have that you are looking to accomplish?
I think at Northwestern, one of the things that we're constantly striving for in our residency program is education over service. So what that means is we want to make sure that your rotation as a resident is an educational experience and you're not just there to fill a space, to fill an OR slot. And so some of the projects that we've had this year have really focused on decreasing the amount of hours that you might be working in trade for being in more educational experiences.
What kind of educational experiences, for example, were you guys?
So one of the biggest things that we wanted to do this year, to piggyback on Louise, I'm particularly excited about it, is we really wanted to kind of revamp our pediatric rotation.
Fantastic.
And so we really, we spent a lot of time meeting with the program, as well as different attendings and coordinators. And I think we came up with a really good solution to ensure this whole idea of education over service. I personally just finished a rotation there, getting to see kind of the fruits of the labor.
Yeah, great.
Amazing. And it was inspiring to know that this was something that just at the very beginning of our chief year, we kind of put into motion, and then to go there and to have such an excellent experience, it got me excited for the future. And I think that that's such a good thing to be able to experience this year.
That is rewarding. What kind of stuff were you guys working on?
Yeah, so I think kind of going off of what Kate said, I think after these changes were in place, let me give you some history on the situation.
Perfect.
Last year, we did not have any of our residents apply for the pediatric match, which is kind of a shocker given that we have a lot of fellowship spots at Northwestern for PEDS. So we kind of knew that there was a situation and kind of an issue that we needed to address so that we could get more interest in the subspecialty. But I think the issues that were arising from the rotation was a pretty brutal call schedule. I know you guys rotate at Lurie too, so you might have experienced that. And then just kind of sometimes some of your rotations in the of your assignments in the OR, you'd kind of be on repeat. You do the same thing over and over and over again. Yeah. So we wanted to make sure that there was some variety in that, and that the call hours were not terrible.
Right. And I recall they have a pretty rigorous lecture schedule now, and they're really good at teaching residents from
right.
an attending perspective.
Exactly, yeah. And more intra-op teaching we discussed with the residents and attendings there. But the month after these changes were made, we had our first resident apply to pediatric fellowship. So he's applying right now. He's getting interviews. But that was really exciting to see. Yeah, I know. It was really exciting. It was literally the month after all of these huge changes were made, he said he was going into PEDS. I was kind of bummed he switched from regional, though,
oh,
and that's what I'm going into. So
thought he was doing OB, which I'm personally biased to.
He's doing Lurie.
Everyone has their bias in anesthesia.
We're excited he's doing PEDS.
We're excited.
Yeah. From every program that we come from, you know, no program is perfect, and I think that's a good thing to point out. And all of them have weaknesses, and I think part of that is part of our role as chiefs is trying to strengthen those weaknesses and trying to work with the administration to fill those holes. For example, like at Rush, we don't really have a huge trauma rotation, and we've worked with the administration to at least get our interns over to Cook County and do a trauma rotation there, which is one of the, you know, top programs in the whole country for that. And just small things like that, just trying to make your program more well-balanced and reputable for incoming trainees and for future trainees.
I think it's big just taking anything that one person could possibly have interest in and trying to make it better for the whole. One person wants to do trauma, you try to see, you know, someone else is bound to have that same interest level in trauma.
Absolutely.
So doing or having a rotation available for it is a great thing. So even one person's interest can go a long way.
All right. What is the hardest part about being chief resident for you guys?
Well, I think dealing with burnout is still a big issue, especially in all medical education and residency, and seeing your colleagues, you know, show the signs of fatigue is tough because, you know, we're all in this together at the end of the day and we want everyone to succeed. But, you know, the hours can be rigorous and you know, the clinical tasks can be tough. So, you know, you can have a really bad day and you just really have to keep your head up. So
You know, just having a positive attitude day in and day out, you know, while it's important, it is difficult because, you know, you want to stand as a good representation of your program. But at the same time, you understand the difficulties everyone's going through. It's such a critical time in your life and in your training. So I would say dealing with burnout is difficult and will always be difficult for a chief resident.
And I agree with you, John. I think that we're always looked to be the higher standard amongst the residents. And so it's sometimes very hard to have a bad day. So you're always kind of looking to see, well, if you did something wrong or if you had a bad day, what can you do to make that day better? Rather than kind of just taking a back seat, which I think is okay because it does push you to be a little bit better every day. But sometimes it can become very burdensome.
I'm going to echo what they say and just say the people you'll see burnt out the most are your own co-residents because the light at the end of the tunnel is very bright by the time you hit CA 3 year. So lot of senioritis. But you coming in with a positive energy every day, being the most excited person to come into work really goes a long way as a chief residence because people do see you as that leader and they do kind of feed off of your energy. So if you come in all mopey and not wanting to be at work, which on a Friday at, you know, 4 o'clock is very easy to do, but you got to stay positive and be that good guiding force.
That is very challenging, especially with all the extra responsibilities and burdens we're taking on. You know, it's important to be there for each other so that we can push through the burnout. And it's something people are dealing with all over the country. So I think people are becoming more aware of it and really trying to, you know, again, with the wellness initiatives, really trying to tackle these issues head on and at least make people more aware.
What is one of the ways you guys deal with your wellness as a chief?
We got like our own personal wellness or like resident wellness as a whole?
I think, you know, we've had a lot of experience with dealing with stress and you know, additional work. So what works for you guys?
I don't know. For me, I think it's taking time out to do just things yourself, right? I mean, you're always at work. You're always around your fellow residents, around your fellow chiefs, putting in work. So I think just taking time out to do things you like. So for me, like, I like to play a lot of different sports. So I play on a different, like, volleyball, basketball, flag football teams, things like that. I know Louise and Kate have their own interests, but it's, I think, just taking time out yourself to, I don't know, kind of really reflect on how you're doing and also, like, kind of step back and get away from this role, right? So you're not constantly doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Louise loves Netflix on her couch, so.
Come on.
I know. I was going to say there's nothing wrong with TV and
I made Netflix Chris come to a workout class with me on Saturday morning, which it was kind of fun for
what
us.
What kind of workout was it?
It was called Sweat.
Yeah. No.
Well, she also
Chris said, do you want to come at 11:30? I'm like, yeah. She said, all right, class is at 11:45. It's a mile from your place. So I had to run to the class and then do a workout class.
He was sweaty when
Sounds
he showed
like
up.
Be okay. He'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We like to do a lot of workout classes at Rush as well. We do some cycle classes and we do Shred 415 and Barry's classes. So
as a whole residency program, we've had a couple of fun detaching events. So we've done axe throwing. We did that too. a spinning class. And then most recently we've done a dodgeball tournament in which attendings even participated.
Oh,
and imagine, you know, throwing dodgeballs at your attendings. I know it was a really good event.
Attendings versus residents?
Yes. Versus fellows.
We split them up into the CA1s had a team, the CA2s had a team, CA3s had a team, and then the attendings/fellows had a team.
And the attendings showed up wearing shirts that said board certified.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So it was great. It was great getting to blast them with some dodgeballs.
Yes. Everybody was limping for a week after.
Well, it sounds like a perfect stress reliever to me. Anything else that you guys can think of that I know it's important just to have a home, you know, support system, whether that be friends and family or, you know, a pet or something, you know, it's just important to have people you can kind of vent to at home.
I think just in general, the friendships that you make during residency across the board, especially when you're, I think you said before, in the trenches together and you're going through all this, it's impossible not to make lifelong friendships. And I think one of the things we're looking the most forward to is coming up, we're having a CA3 or a senior weekend trip where we're getting everyone away for the weekend. And I think that that's the ultimate kind of finale to residency that we've been really blessed with such a great class. We couldn't ask for anything better. And I think ultimately it's your support system that really makes everything worth it.
All right. So what's the best or worst moment that you've experienced as a chief resident? Pick one for us. Tell us your best up or your best down.
I think the best moment of chief residency so far was the first like official day of our chief residency. And Kate, Chris, and I went to Cindy's rooftop and were laughing so hard because we had no idea what we were getting ourselves into that Kate spit her espresso martini across of Cindy's. And we have a picture of it.
A nice action shot.
Nice action shot. I think that was the best part. I mean, maybe not really, but it's a memory that's sticking out right now.
Right. It just kind of set the scene for the year.
For the year.
We were a bunch of unprepared and feeling goofballs. Unprepared.
Yeah, yeah.
To know what you were getting yourself into.
I think we knew that no matter what we would face, we would be facing it together. And
laughing the entire way. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. We've been laughing a lot this year. It's been good.
As we were getting ready for the podcast, we were kind of talking about, you know, this imposter syndrome. You know, you're a CA2 one day ago, and then all of a sudden you're this chief resident and people are like, oh, like, okay, you're good on your own, or, you know, what, looking to you for answers. You know, how did you guys deal with that? How did you tackle that imposter syndrome?
I think telling people, like, when you don't know, you don't know. Because like you said, people forget that technically you're still a resident, right? So, I mean, you don't know everything just because you're a chief resident. So when people come to you, whether it's an academic question, clinical question, or I guess just like kind of a question about the program and you don't know, it's okay to tell them you don't know and that maybe someone else will know, or if you can look it up and get back to them, things like that.
Right. I think it's that mentality of, you know, you're still a PGY4, but you're going to do your best to take care of the issue. So kind of moving forward here as chiefs, you know, we have lots of co-residents at multiple different institutions and hospitals and on rotations and on vacation and multiple different years. It's really hard to communicate with everyone and stay connected. How do you guys try to do that? How do you stay in tune with everyone and make sure everyone's on the same page?
I don't know. I think for us, just, being able to have everybody's number. I mean, our institution as a whole, we have like a big group chat for all the residents, and each class obviously has their own group chat, but kind of having everybody in that group chat makes it really easy when something comes up or you need to ask someone to take a call, or vice versa, just kind of posting in that group chat where everybody sees it, everybody can respond. And it's not, you know, just for that. Like, people are inviting each other out to happy hours. People are making jokes and making fun of people in there.
Yeah. As far as that, we have two separate group chats we'd like to distinguish. We have a more professional one where our program director is involved, and then we have another one where we can kind of cut up. And I guess the real trick is just distinguishing the two, because you'd hate to crack a joke about one of your attendings and it turn up in the wrong group in the wee hours of the night. It has happened, but we'll leave it at that.
We also used to do monthly chief emails where we'd kind of update any big changes that we found or things that we've done over the course of the last month. And luckily, there haven't been many changes or big updates as of late. So it's been like 3 months since we've sent one of those out.
Yeah, it's important just to stay in constant contact with everyone, just so everyone knows, you know, what are the updates and things like that.
GIFs are very important.
Yeah.
And we have our like quarterly meetings as well, where we can air out any issues that people have been having.
Event session, if you will.
Yeah, exactly.
With dinner.
Food makes things better.
Luis, did you have something to add as well?
I was just going to say, we need to adapt the monthly. Kate's been doing a weekly,
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think we should go to a yearly.
Maybe a yearly.
Ours is almost quarterly now, so maybe we. You can help
There's
us.
There's been one since
There's
December.
Been quite a few weeks that I've missed, but we've just let Kate do it the entire year. She's so good at it.
Hey, I just did the last one.
Well, you know,
there was a mistake in it.
Only one mistake.
And there was no subject.
There's two mistakes.
Okay, no subject. That's a tough one. More on this topic of staying connected with your co-residents. And furthermore, how do you stay connected with co-chief residents across the country? I know we're sitting here because we're all in Chicago and we're close to the ASA, so no one has to fly anywhere. But how do you stay connected with other people who are dealing with the same issues? And, you know, it's a small world out there. It's a small anesthesia world. You know, how have you met people? How do you stay in contact?
I think that's a good question, because we don't really have the resources right now to reach out to each other. And it sounds like just from sitting here in the last couple hours that we experience a lot of the same issues or the same things come up. And it would be nice to have you know, some sort of messaging system or, you know, each other's contact info or whatnot.
I would say one of the things that is available are national conferences. There are several different activities and things where chief residents can meet up, and that's a huge thing. Mitch and I went to the same medical school, and so I know there was a lot of people that went into anesthesia, and so I've reached out to them at other programs as well.
Yeah, we've all gone through a lot of training. You know, we have undergrad, medical school, residency, and now fellowship, and, you know, I did a rotation with Louise in medical school, and you know, I think a lot of us have crossed paths in many different ways. So it becomes a small world really quick. And it's just important, you know, to look out for each other and, you know, form strong relationships, because we're going to be working with each other for the rest of our lives. So we're going to wrap up the second part of Chief Residence, Residence in a Room by the ASA. We want to thank you for joining us, and we hope that you can join us for our third and final portion of the Chief Resident podcast, where we discuss what's next and where do we go after our Chief Resident year.
Reach and sustain your leadership goals. Find ASA events, education, and opportunities to excel at asahq.org/leadership. Join us for Residents in a Room, where we'll share timely info, advice, and resources designed to help residents succeed in residency and beyond. Find us wherever you get your podcasts or visit asahq.org/podcasts for more.
I don't know. Poster children are
representative. Yeah. No, that's a good representative. You're like the poster child.
Yeah, but I don't like that word.
Totally sidetracked.
We could put you on a poster, Bryce.
No, okay.
You're the face of the program. You're the face of the resident.
Represent the program. Yeah.